Tonight we're going to begin a series of lessons for the next few Sunday nights entitled Five Ways or Five Easy Steps to Wreck Your Life. I won't say that's the best title in the world for a series, but it definitely gets your attention. And for the next few weeks, the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about things like gossip, anger, lust, pride, and addiction. Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of gossip. Gossip is perhaps one of the most deadly of the silent sins that can act within a congregation of good people such as this. Someone has suggested that wherever there is a group of people gathered together on a regular basis, or wherever there is a group of people who are associated with one another, sooner or later, ultimately, the sin of gossip becomes an issue. It is something that is hard for many, many people to resist. It's something that many people regard as a very minor thing, and yet it perhaps causes as much harm as most anything that we could think of among those who claim to be God's people. In James chapter 1, verse 26, James says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." Now that's the English Standard Version. I want to read it to you from the New Century Version. Not one that I use a lot, but on occasion it's one that puts things in some really everyday language. And if you're careful in making sure that it doesn't mistranslate something with the commentary sort of, it can be helpful. The New Century Version renders it like this: "People who think they are religious but say things they should not say are just fooling themselves. Their religion is worth nothing." Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? I want to suggest to you here at the beginning that gossip is the kind of thing that can render all of our other efforts ultimately worthless. Therefore, I think it's something that we really need to pay attention to. If you go to the internet and type in the word gossip and look for a definition, you'll pull up a lot of different internet dictionaries. Wikipedia is perhaps one of the most common. And on the Wikipedia internet dictionary, we find the definition of gossip as idle talk or rumor about the personal or private affairs of others. It is one of the oldest and most common means of sharing facts, views, and slander. The term also describes idle chat, a rumor of personal or trivial nature. Now, I'm here to tell you that we need to dig a little bit deeper into what gossip really is, especially from a Bible standpoint, because that definition there doesn't really highlight the sinful nature of gossip. We've all heard some of the one-liners. For example, a gossip is a person who creates the smoke in which other people assume there is a fire. Gossip is a beast of prey that does not wait for the death of the creature that it devours. In other words, it just eats it alive. Gossip is the art of saying nothing in a way that leaves practically nothing unsaid. I think that's probably my favorite. It's a way of saying nothing, the art of saying nothing, in a way that leaves practically nothing unsaid. Let's look at a few points on the subject of gossip. Number one, let's look at some of the Bible terms associated with gossip. For example, in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse, or chapter 19, verse 16, God's word says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people." The New King James Version renders that word slanderer as talebearer. We all understand what a slanderer is. A slanderer is someone who says things against others, and hence the term that we're familiar with today, slander. A talebearer is obviously the kind of person that you or I wouldn't want to be. In fact, we wouldn't even want to be around a talebearer, someone who seems to get joy out of telling tales about other people. This word is closely associated with our English word informer, except for the fact that today we regard an informer as someone who just simply tells something that needs to be told, something that nobody knows. Gossip has a much more negative, sinful connotation attached to it beyond just telling something that is not known. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, the wise man says, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." This afternoon, after I'd enjoyed a big old popsicle and was sitting there on the couch watching TV while I was eating potato chips and drinking a Coca-Cola, I don't get into that kind of stuff. What do we call it? Junk food? Isn't that the term we use for it? Why do we call it junk food? Well, because simply it doesn't have any real food value. It's just junk. Did your mama not ever tell you in the afternoon when you said, "Mom, I'm hungry," she'd say, "Don't you go eat any junk now. We're going to have supper in a little while." If you're hungry, get an apple. That was my mother's favorite answer, I guess, and still is today. If you're hungry, get an apple. Get a banana, you know. Junk food is widely recognized as something that's not really good for you, but it's the kind of thing that keeps you attached. It keeps you interested. I believe it was Lay's potato chips years ago, back during my childhood when they came out with that slogan, "Nobody can eat just one." The wise man says that the words of a whisperer, gossip, to a lot of folks is like delicious morsels. It's like junk food. The New King James Version says tasty trifles. Delicious morsels. Some folks just can't seem to get enough. It's interesting that in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, the Apostle Paul uses both the terms gossips and slanderers. But what's really interesting is to look at the context and see what he's talking about and see what kind of people he puts the gossips and the slanderers right in the middle of. Listen to what he says, describing some of the most wicked people in the world of his day. He said they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips and slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Those gossips are keeping good company, aren't they? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, Paul uses the terms backbitings and whisperings. And in this particular passage, he's discussing a list of things that he's afraid he might find when he goes to visit the brethren in Corinth, because he's aware that there have been some dissensions and that there have been some problems, And he says, I'm afraid that this is what I'm going to find, backbitings and whisperings. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, describing some that he warns Timothy about who could bring great harm on the church from within, Paul says, besides this, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Idle busybodies. These are the kind of terms that are associated with the matter of gossiping. And yet today, gossip has come to be a rather acceptable term. In fact, practically every local newspaper has what they lovingly call the gossip column. And in the gossip column, you won't find a whole lot of malicious trash, but you will find a lot of discussion on what so-and-so is doing and what this prominent family is planning and so forth. And I'm just simply saying that gossip has come to be an accepted thing these days. So the question usually comes up, how do I distinguish between gossip and acceptable conversation? Well, first of all, let's understand that gossip is not just talking about people. Talking about people is often necessary in certain ways. You may have to talk about folks in order to get advice on how to approach them, particularly if it's someone in the church who may be having a problem or may be struggling with a difficulty, may be unfaithful. It may be appropriate for you to go to someone and say, tell me what's going on with brother so-and-so. I don't ever see him anymore. Is he having some kind of difficulty? Is there something you know of that I can do? These are all wholesome things and questions that we need to ask. Sometimes it's necessary to even share information with others. For example, Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 verses 15 through 17 talked about the process that should be used to approach someone who has sinned against us. First of all, the Lord said, go to him alone. But he says, if he refuses to hear you, take someone with you so that in the mouth of witnesses everything may be established. Then he says, if he still refuses to repent, tell the matter to the church. And so just because we're talking about someone or relaying information about someone to others doesn't necessarily mean we're gossiping. Talking about people because you want to help them is certainly not wrong. How could you pray for someone if you didn't know that they needed prayer? How can you know that a Christian is struggling in some cases unless someone comes to you and tells you about that person's struggling? How can shepherds tend to the flock without discussing the individual spiritual needs and problems of various ones in the congregation? We sometimes have to talk about people in order to help them. But gossip is talking about people in a certain way with a wrong motive. Gossip is talking about people without a love for God and His Word and the one that you're talking about. Gossip is talking about people in order to hurt them or to hurt their reputation, to put them at some kind of disadvantage, to get others to look down on them in some way. Gossip is talking about people with the intent to tear them down, the desire to destroy them. Talking about people with a spiteful motive, from a desire to get even with them for something that perhaps they've done. And sometimes gossip can even involve the truth. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm not gossiping, I'm telling the truth. Every word that I'm saying is true." Hold on now. I don't think you understand what gossip is really all about. Gossip, in order for it to be gossip, doesn't necessarily have to be untrue. There are many things that are true that don't need to be openly and widely discussed, and especially discussed from the motive of wanting to cause someone harm or embarrassment. Even the truth can be used to hurt people at times, and to use the truth in that kind of way is sin. Another good question is, why do people gossip? Well, some people gossip out of nothing more than just irresponsibility or immaturity. They may not necessarily be intending to hurt the other party, but they're hurting them all the same, even if they're doing so unknowingly. Gossip by the irresponsible or the immature is still gossip. It's still sinful. Some people just simply don't know any better. Some people may have no idea that what they're talking about really shouldn't be discussed. God's Word tells us over and over again that we need to practice Christianity and apply spiritual principles so that we can develop wisdom, and then pray to God also that He might give us the wisdom that we need. We need more and more wisdom in order to know how to deal with one another, for example. Some people gossip because they are just simply drawn to the sensational, the forbidden, or the taboo things. Remember how Solomon referred to them in Proverbs 18? The delicious morsels. Those little tidbits that are so enticing, that are so fun to talk about. The hush-hush thing. That's why we illustrate gossip with people whispering to one another. This is the practiced, premeditated gossip. The person who knows exactly what he or she is doing and enjoys it. Like eating potato chips in front of the TV. Some people gossip out of a sense of envy and resentment. Driven by jealousy against someone who's better than they are, or better off, or more favored, or any number of things like that. Gossip is sometimes used as an intentional weapon to destroy. And some people gossip believing that they're raising themselves up by stomping someone else down. The bottom line is that those who sin with the tongue love the sin more than they love the people. They love the sin, they love the delicious morsels more than they love the people. Driven by a willingness to destroy another's reputation in order to improve what they conceive as their own standing. But the fact is, gossip is a lose-lose situation. So how do we stop it? Well, We could go through a long list of little detailed things, but I think I can sum it up in just about two things. Number one, every one of us ought to remember that every word we say is being recorded. I don't know if you've ever been in the situation where you had to give deposition or testimony in a court case, but you know, there's just something that's a little bit unraveling to me when I go in and sit down at a table across from someone and they want to ask me some questions and they put a tape recorder right there with a microphone pointed at me. And it's certainly not that I'm in the habit of telling anything other than the truth, but it's just the idea that, you know, this is being meticulously taken down, and it causes me to be a little bit more conscious about what I say and if not how I say what I say. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, he said, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. I'm afraid there is a wholesale disregard for a very important fact among people today. We see it illustrated not only in daily conversations in the one-on-one between people, even in the church. You see it on Facebook. You see it in email. You see it in all these ways that we've come up with to communicate with one another, and many of them are in print, and many of them are preserved for posterity. And there is a wholesale disregard for a very important fact. What we say is being read, heard, and listened to, not only by thousands and thousands of people, but by our Heavenly Father Himself. And there ought not to be another singular reason any more compelling to make the proper use of our tongues than that fact. The fact that God never misses a word. Added to that is the second reason, and it's connected, and it goes back to that passage that we read at the very beginning. James chapter 1, verse 26. People who think they are religious but say things they should not say are just fooling themselves, and their religion is worth nothing. You and I as Christians ought to want as much as we want anything to be effective with our example, with our lives, with our testimony. We ought to bear in mind every single minute the fact that we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to apply to everything that we do. And in this regard especially, it ought to apply to everything that we say. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Peter said, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Sometimes the question comes up, well, you know, what do I do? What do I say when someone comes to me and wants to tell me something that I really don't need to know, something that would fall in the category of gossip? Charles Swindoll, a prominent denominational preacher and teacher who's published a lot of study books and so forth and has some radio programs that are broadcasted on a regular basis from some of the religious stations, made a statement one time, or perhaps I read it in one of his books, I don't really recall, but he said, the way I handle that is simply this. And I like his answer. He said, when someone comes to me with gossip, once they've told me enough for me to realize where this conversation is going, he said, I always do this. He said, I always politely interrupt them and I say, now can I quote you on this? He said, you'd be amazed at how that turns a conversation off cold just like that if it's gossip. We're going to sing this song in order to encourage anyone who might need to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you find yourself in that position, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.